Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Good evening. That last song that they sang, I Will Wait. Sometimes it's hard to wait on the Lord, isn't it? We want to answer right now. Sometimes answers are a long time in coming, and we struggle to find out why the Lord's not speaking to us, or why he hasn't answered, why we're still sick, or why we're still struggling, or why we still have a crummy job that we hate and we're trying to find a new one. Or, you know, we struggle with waiting and not having those answers. How many of you have ever waited like that? Excuse me, you've waited and struggled with the wait. But in the wait, there's gold in the waiting. We have to learn to dig out the waiting. Learn to dig out what the Lord's trying to show us in the waiting. The waiting is actually meant to draw you closer to him, not push you away from him. When we take it the way the Lord means these trials, we get gold out of them. We get stronger in the waiting. We get more rooted and grounded in him. We grow desire in that place. We grow confidence in the Lord. We gain faith for the more, even when the more is not happening. That's when your foundation gets real thick and real strong. Your roots go deep because you're searching for the Lord in it rather than that hamburger, the hamburger helper. I know I pick on McDonald's a lot, so I'm trying to switch gears. That you want that quick fix or the way that you think the answer should come. We all do that. I've not met anybody that hasn't wanted what they think. Sometimes we've even gotten prophetic words. Does everyone here have the prophetic words that you've ever received answered? All of them are answered. All of them are answered. No, so you're still waiting on some, aren't you? And so we press in for that which has been spoken over us. That's what's coming. So the Lord gives you an idea for it. I remember some of the things that have been spoken over me. So I'm just going to share something with you. I didn't want to. But God does that with me, as you know. I just finished on Sunday a 14-day water-only fast. I've not been a good faster, so that's kind of a confession. I've never felt called. I've done fasts before when corporate fasts are called for and that kind of thing, and those are usually Daniel fasts. That's an easy one for me because I kind of eat like that anyway, so taking off meat isn't a problem, and I'm not a sweet freak, so I don't have a problem with that one. About a month ago, but I never got anything out of the fast. I mean, really, for me. Now, corporately, I believe things happen. I believe things shift in it out of obedience and that kind of thing. So it's not, don't misunderstand me there. But personally, it's never spoke to me personally. About a month ago, for the first time, I felt God calling me to a fast. Actually, it was about a month and a half ago. It was a Daniel fast. And I'm like, piece of cake. Okay, I can do that. And I started on March 1st. and bombed it. Like, wow, you know, the one that was easy for me, I really bombed it. And so 2 weeks later, the Lord bumps it up a little bit. and asked me to do the 14-day water only. And I'm not in the best shape anyway. And so that one was, I went into it with fear and trembling and humbled to the core. I knew it was the Lord. He confirmed it. And so I started pressing in, thinking, okay, God's really working on something to break through. You know, I need to search his heart for what I need to break through in. Well, there's numerous things I need to break through in. And so I started laying those at his feet. About the third day in, I became overwhelmed. And I laid those all aside. It was like, God, I just want to do this because I love you. I just want to do it because I love you. I just love you. And out of obedience, I want this to be a love offering, not what I can receive from you. I want to give this to you. And I never, in those 14 days, I didn't vomit. I did it. I took communion every day, so water only, but I had one little wafer that looked really good. but other than that, it was water only. And I never felt more hungry than I just missed a couple meals. It was by the grace of God. I never missed an appointment. I never, I was able to keep up with everything. I felt a little weak by the last half of the last week. I started getting a bit weak, but I know that I could have gone longer. His grace just covered me, and I was able to do it. And every day, just be before him, and that just that love laid down, it was humbling, humbling. So I would encourage you, I keep asking the Lord, give me things that will draw me deeper into, get my roots to go deeper. I want to be challenged in my faith. I don't want to be lazy. I don't want to be, I know you guys want to grow. And so in order to grow, we need to be challenged. Our faith needs to be challenged. And so God will give you things that will grow, are meant to grow you. Trials are meant to grow you. This was one that I honestly, absolutely, without doubt, no, I could not have done had it not been the grace of God. And so that's humbling. It's humbling. And so in that fast, he one day took me, I have a little cabin, and we went in heaven. And we went up, Jesus and I walked in the cabin and climbed up a ladder into the kingdom and entered this room, came up from the bottom, from the floor, and entered this room, and it was round. And shaped like a cone, and the top was open to the sky, and on it was all like pictures and things, objects, and lots of pictures. And I kept hearing the word remember, 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 remember. And at first I thought, okay, I can't. I kept trying to look at the pictures and get a clear view of what they look like, because I felt like God wanted me to remember all the things, all the areas in my life that he had come through for me, that even places that I didn't recognize him, that he wanted me to remember those places. And yes, I think God does want us to remember those places. But I kept pressing in, and I couldn't ever see the pictures clearly. And then about the third, so be willing to wait. When you find yourself in that place, like the Lord gives you a little picture or a word out here, just keep pressing into it and asking and searching the scriptures. Keep press, wait on it. And about the third day in, after seeing that initial picture, I suddenly understood, and I heard the Lord say, I want you to gather, because all through my house I have prophetic prophetic words that have been spoken over me, like all of you, and like a lot of you, the Lord has confirmed that or encouraged that word by a physical object. I've had this happen to me numerous times. The ring that I, for instance, this ring that I'm wearing right here, the Lord was speaking to me about, this was several years ago, the Lord was speaking to me about the seven spirits of God, which is this in Isaiah 1 through 11, 1 through 3. And they call it the seven spirits, but it's the seven attributes of the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God will rest upon you, the spirit of knowledge, wisdom, and so on, down to the fear of the Lord. And they liken that to the rainbow. The rainbow has seven colors in it. And so I was like just learning about all of that and pondering that, and the Lord was speaking to me about him resting on me and that kind of thing. And my husband got the wild idea one day, again, unknown to me, he comes home with this ring. And he said, I just felt led to go to the grocery store. Now, that could be interesting. I guess you could do that at Meijer. Felt led to go to the jewelry store, and I walked in, and as soon as I saw this ring, I knew that's why I was there. And I got it for you. And I didn't know at that time. I was like, wow, honey, thanks. And I was looking at the ring, and after a couple days of looking at it, because there was something about it, it's a rainbow. And it has the seven colors in it, and it has a little stripe of diamonds across it. You can look at it later if you want to, but has a little stripe of diamonds which represents Holy Spirit. So I went through the house and gathered up all that I could think of, all that he brought to mind, the prophetic. That has happened to me many times. The object always comes after the word, and I'm not looking for it. It shows up somehow. The only one I asked for was a sword. One time I saw the Lord give me a sword, and I asked for a sword. And so Chris marched me to Chicago, and we had to buy a real sword. So I have a real sword from England. But that's the only one that I actually purposefully went after. And so I lined those all up and set them in front of me, all around me, and I was surrounded by them. And then the Lord started, now I want you to write down every prophetic word that was spoken over you with those things, because those are my confirmation to you that that word is true. And so I started remembering the words and declaring them over myself. I would encourage you to do the same thing. You all have things that remind you of the prophetic words that God has given you and spoken over you, even if it's written. If you've written those things, I even got out my journal and I opened it to a couple pages and I went back and read some of those words and to remember them, because when we remember them, we embrace. So I just want to read this scripture to you, Mark 8, 11 through 21. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to that. Otherwise, we're going to get it up here. Good. Says the Pharisees, now I'm reading out of the Amplified. The Pharisees came out and began to argue, continuously debate with him, demanding from him a sign from heaven to test him because of their unbelief. He groaned and sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation demand a sign? I assure you most solemnly, say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. Leaving them, he again boarded the boat and left for the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. Jesus repeatedly ordered them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Then they began discussing this with one another, saying, "It is because we have no bread that he said this." Jesus, aware of this discussion, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Though you have eyes, do you not see? Though you have ears, do you not hear and listen to what I have said? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets of broken pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 12. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of pieces did you pick up?" And they answered, 7. And he was saying to them, "Do you still not understand?" They had just witnessed him on that last one. They had just seen it. Now they're in the boat, and they have 1 loaf of bread, and they're worried about it. It's just like when the Israelites were in the desert, and here they're having, their clothes aren't wearing out. They're being fed every day. Their tummies are full. They have a pillar in front of them, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They're miraculously not aging. They're being sustained supernaturally. And yet, when Moses goes up on that mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, what do? I mean, he was only gone 40 days, was it? Just a short time. And what do? They like demand that he make a gold calf for them to worship. In that short of period of time, they forgot. They forgot. They didn't remember. We need to remember what God's done for us. I love taking surveys. So I want to see how many of you have ever been healed of something. Look at that. Turn around and look at that. Keep your hands up. That's a lot. I'd like 5 people to come up here real quick and just say what you were healed of, real short. Come on, guys. 5 of you. Just a two word, if it's 2 words, just whatever it was that you were healed of.
Hernia surgery. 15-year addiction to drugs, bipolar disorder, manic depressive, you name it.
Manic depression and drug addiction.
Awesome. Just 3 out of that? All right. Well, you had multiple. That was good. Come quick if you're going to come.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
I was healed from a pinched nerve in my elbow that would have required surgery after prayer at church.
Awesome. Just a quick, what it was.
It's been 29 years now, but 31 years of acute alcoholism.
Awesome.
And then 3 years later, 5-pack-a-day, 28 years, delivered from my smoking.
Awesome.
And coffee, too.
There you go. Those are huge. I mean, those things are huge. So the medical profession doesn't even always know what to do with, like, manic depressive disorder and those kinds of things or addictions. It's by the hand of God that these people have been set free instantly. We need to remember that. How many of you have ever witnessed a healing when you've laid your hands on someone to pray for them? Look at that. Turn around. You guys, look. Keep your hands up. See? We all can live in that place of supernatural, the supernatural. How many of you know how to prophesy? Look, awesome. Awesome. And how many have ever received a prophetic word? Look at that. Well, you're in a place that we do that, but not all of you have been there. That's awesome. All of that God wants us to remember. Because when we remember, it stirs up faith. We're to stir up faith. We're not to get let that go. Because when you're in the trial, when you're in the struggle, there is a time when that struggle can get kind of long. It can get pretty fierce, and it can get, it will start to want to pull you. The enemy wants to seed doubt. He wants to put seeds of doubt in us. He wants us to get discouraged. He wants us to forget. He wants us to, because, you know, he doesn't only accuse the brethren, he accuses God. He accuses God to us. And we start to think God's not listening to us. God doesn't care about my trouble. He doesn't speak to me anymore. I still love him, but he doesn't love me so much. Or, you know, you start getting those, your mind starts going there and you start doubting. And the enemy loves it. He loves it. And because he's the one that's bringing the oppression in the first place. And so if we start accusing God or start doubting or struggling, then our foundation, if it's not really deep, it's going to get shaky. And we're going to struggle to stand up. And so we need to remember. So I would encourage you to ask the Lord to give you something that will challenge your faith. You don't have to fear that. God's not mean. He's not mean. He might ask you to go on a water-only fast or something like that, you know. That's not out of being mean. That's out of you want to grow, and he's going to give you something that he will sustain you through that will grow your confidence in him. It will grow faith. We need to grow faith. We need to stop being afraid of asking God to challenge us. He's not out to destroy your faith. He wants to grow it. And so he's good Father, and he knows what he can give you that you will be able to trust him for. It's beyond you. That was beyond me. I keep hearing, so, you know, it's always a little challenging because I ask the Lord to challenge me all the time. I want to grow the gifts that I have, and so I need to be challenged in them, right? Same with you. If you want to grow the gifts that you've been given, you need to use them. If you sit them on the shelf and stop using them, they're going to not grow. He wants you to grow anointing. He wants you to grow the gift. He wants you to exercise it, because everything you've been given is for the well-being of another. It's not for you. If you have the gift of prophecy, that's not for you. It's for the people listening to you that you're to bless. Their gift of prophecy is for you. If you have a gift of healing, that's not for you either. It's for the body. If you have any gift that you have is for another except tongues, that's for you. That's for you. So the Lord, if you ask him, you get excited about who he's calling you. Get excited about those prophetic words. If you want to walk in them, you're going to have to let yourself be challenged so that he can grow you into them. He doesn't give ammunition that's very strong. You know, you might start out with a BB gun or something, but he's not going to give I don't know the names of guns, but he's not going to give a really strong gun that's real powerful. He's not going to give a cannon to a baby that's in that gift, because that's Russian roulette right there. So he wants you to grow. He wants you to grow and learn how to use the BB gun really well, and then you get into a .22 and go up from there, whatever that is. You work your way up. You practice shooting at the target. And so when you have a gift of healing, you start praying for people. Or if you want to grow a gift of healing, ask for it and start praying for people. Believe for it. If it's been prophesied but you've never seen it before, you got to do something about it. That prophetic word's just not going to bounce on you. It's already been declared over you. The spiritual realm has already been set in motion. Your spirit is picking that up. Your spirit wants to go there. So partner with your spirit and Holy Spirit, and you will. But you got to challenge yourself. Don't be afraid. When I first started teaching, it's like that was not even on my radar at all. And you've heard that story, a lot of you, but I had to start challenging myself to do it. And so I started out small with a little Bible study. That felt safe. Got that, started, and you work your way up. That's how it works. And you grow in it. You grow confidence. You grow faith for it. You grow gifting. You grow anointing. And it all comes out of intimacy. Intimacy first. So I'm being stretched a little bit here, but I keep seeing. And I know we didn't have much ice this last winter, but I feel like there's somebody here that fell on ice. I don't even know if it was this last winter. I'm not getting that. Fell on ice and was injured. Right there. All right. So could you stand up? Anybody else? So I'd like some of you to gather around her. And can you tell us what? Okay, I did. Was seeing the arm. So I should have stepped out in that. See, I got chicken. So just gather around her, and we're just going to bless her. And so, Father, we just speak to that arm, and we command that accident to reverse itself now in Jesus' name. We speak blessing over the muscles, tendons, and bones, everything that was involved there. We break the memory of it off of her body and speak life into that place and strength. And I, God, I command her body to realign itself with your peace. We speak healing and blessing. And we thank you, God, for revelation. Okay, now check it out. How does it feel? Any different? It's kind of frozen? Okay. Oh, it's a replacement. Oh, okay. Right. So so you got metal in there. All right. So we just speak a new shoulder in there. We speak a new shoulder. That metal has to go. And bone, we just command bone to grow. And full motion. Full motion in that shoulder, God. You didn't call it out to not heal it. And so we believe and contend for that shoulder to be completely restored in Jesus' name. Check it out. No different? Okay. All right, that's okay, because even the fact that God called that out gives her confidence and hope for healing, right? And so that we don't see it immediately, we can wait on it because we know it's coming, right? So that's the way you need to look at those things. You don't look at, oh, I'm so sorry, God. You know, it must not have been in the mood. Just wasn't your night, you know? You don't do that. You believe, you bless. But God called it out, and so he has intentions to heal. And we need to be okay to wait on it. All right? So I want to challenge you to get bold. It's not, this isn't a season to get lazy. It's not a season to sit back. It's not a season to dry up. We got to get on fire. We got to get that fire burning within us that will stir us up to be more, to do more, to put ourselves at risk. You know, I just put myself at risk right there. It was okay. Even if nobody would have raised their hand, it would have been all right. Because I'll do it again. I'll do it again. I want to grow. I want that anointing. I want to live in Isaiah 58, where it talks about the fast that breaks the yoke, the bondage, the oppression, the things that the enemy puts on us. I want to walk there. I want to. You need to want to. If you want, if your hope and dream is to feed the hungry, you need to do something about it. Stir up that faith and confidence in God. He has it for you. He doesn't, you know, he's not idle, but he's put himself in us so that we can be his hands and feet and mouth. And so if it's going to get done, it's going to be through you. So whatever dream God has put in you, whatever he's prophesied over you, stop sitting on it. Exercise it. Get out there and start pushing. Ask him to challenge you. Don't be afraid of that. I turned right around after that fast, and God, thank you. That was awesome. Do it again. Give me something else. Challenge me. I don't have time to wait. I mean, I wait on the Lord. Absolutely. But I don't have time to sit and be idle. You don't either. You young guys, you don't have time. I don't have to. Mine feels, because I'm getting older, you know, you have that, okay, life's getting really short here. I got to do something. Don't wait for that, because you might not have that. You might not live a long life. Do what you can now, what God's called you now. Grow it now. This world is getting darker, and we need to get brighter. We need to counteract the darkness that's coming with the light within us. And the light that is within us is far brighter, far more glorious than the darkness that's within us, without us, without. Good grief. You know what I mean. The light of Christ in us is glorious. There's a song about God, show me your glory. I'm not afraid. We need to be afraid. I love the sound of that song, but I don't agree with that part, because we see the glory of God in a limited measure. But if we stood in his presence, we would fall on our face just like John did, like a dead man. The glory of God is amazingly holy and pure. And it takes the grace of God to stand in it. And we should never be flippant about the glory of God. It's holy. That's why it's glorious. That's why the light of Christ is so brilliant and bright. That's why it can outshine the darkness. It's true. Embrace the fear of the Lord. We need to have a holy fear of him. He's powerful, and he's good. At the same time, he's amazing. He's an awesome lover. He wants to grow you. So can we have keyboard? Can somebody with a keyboard? Did they all go away somewhere? Disappeared. All right. Are they back there? Chris, could you? Chris is going to do it. So God wants to challenge us. So I would like you to be bold enough, have faith enough, confidence enough in God's love for you and his heart for your success. He's the one that's given you the gift, right? Holy Spirit is the one that selected you for the gifts you've been given. It's because he's chosen you specifically, and nobody can operate in that gift the way you will, the way you do. No, nobody else can do it just like you. You're uniquely and wonderfully made and gifted. So grow your gift in the way that it, don't try to look like somebody else. It doesn't work. I wanted to look like Bill Johnson. You guys know that. Oh, he's such an amazing teacher. And God really, like, let me know that that wasn't going to happen. I just needed to be me. But in that, he really grew me for the confidence to be me. I don't need to look like him. He can be awesome all by himself. And that gift that God's put on him is amazing. But so is mine, and so is yours. So don't look at another person operating in the same gift that you have. Look at Holy Spirit and Jesus and say, how can I be the best way that I can be an expression of that gift is what I want. And so be uniquely you. We're going to start doing some healing. You know, one of the things, the way that Satan likes to seed us is with doubt and pride. Both of those things, when it says that they had a hard heart, when Jesus questioned them, why are you questioning? Do you not remember, is your heart hard? That's what he said. It's because they forgot. Forgetfulness creates a hard heart. Doubt creates a hard heart. Pride creates a hard heart. Comes from a hard heart. We don't want that. If you feel like your heart is hard in any of those ways, that you have doubts, that you struggle to believe for more, that you have struggled trusting God, I'd like you to come forward. The healing team would like to minister to your heart, so that your heart can align itself with what the truth that you know. Sometimes we have trouble getting the two together. It's not a time to be shy. If you struggle with doubt, things that cause your heart to be hard, that doesn't mean that you don't love God. I'm not saying that. Doesn't mean that you don't have a measure of faith. It means you want more. It means you want more faith, because there's areas that we doubt or we struggle. Could the healing team come on up? Yeah. Anybody that's... We're going to start praying for people. You know, sometimes it takes a bit of courage to come up here when everybody's looking at you. But I'd like all of you guys... I'm just going to step in front of them and come down here. And while they're working, I want anybody here that has migraines. I'm hearing the word migraine. Anybody here with migraines? Right there. Okay, could you just stand right there? I want some of you to surround her. And start praying for her. Carpal tunnel. Anybody have carpal tunnel? Or like something in the wrist? Greg, if you want to stand out here. If I could get some of you to surround him. Take authority over that thing. Find out what it is. You have got to quiz these people a little bit. Jesus. Ulcer? I just heard the word ulcer. Does anybody have an ulcer? No? Be firm when you pray for them. Don't be nice. You don't ask migraines to go away. You command them to go. You be bold. You have the authority to overcome disease. Jesus, it was a commandment. He goes, you go out and do what I've been doing. You know? So we need to do it. Does anybody here have asthma? Asthma or breathing? Oh, I'm batting 100. I just heard the word lost. This doesn't mean that you're not a Christian, but like you've lost your hope. Anybody here feel like they've lost their hope or their vision for the future? Anyone like that? Janet, Anna, you guys want to come over here? And if some of you surround them, Anna, you can come over here. Just surround. I need several people to surround them. Come on, guys. This is audience participation. Anna, could you kind of stand back? And just, you guys, lay hands on them, Anna and Janet, and start praying to restore hope. Vision for the future. Destiny. We need to speak destiny into each other. We need to bless each other. Confident, you know, confidence in destiny. It's easy to lose. There's the wrist guy. There's the wrist guy. I saw somebody with wrist and nobody raised their hands. He was out. So just stay right there and you guys surround him. Pray over that wrist. Jesus. Does any of you need financial breakthrough? Financial breakthrough. Come over here. Okay. All right. Let's join in on the finance right now, and we'll get you there, and then we'll. Okay, so this is fine for financial breakthrough. So there's a whole line of them here, guys. Come on. Let's pray. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ, and they need your prayers. We need prayers for financial breakthrough. That's a hard place to be, especially if it's gone on a long time. So they need the comfort of God, the assurance of God. So you pray over them and you break that. Jolene, could you kind of, are you there for the same? Okay, so kind of get moves in a way that people can get up to you, all right? Yeah, both of them. And, okay. That's it, get in a huddle and pray. All right. I feel like some of you want more spiritually, but you're not sure how to get there, and you feel a bit stuck. Is there anyone like that, that wants to move forward spiritually, but you feel, come over here. If you feel like you want to move forward spiritually, but you feel stuck, not sure how to get there. Come on. lift this group of people up to you. They're after your heart. And Jesus, I just bless them. I take authority over everything that hinders forward motion in relationship with you, in their spiritual well-being. God, I take authority and I break the bondages of the enemy that would try to stop them or pull them back or discourage them. I break those assignments now. I break those assignments off of you in Jesus' name. I just take authority over those demonic assignments to hold you back and to cause you to be stagnant in Jesus' name. I break them off. I take authority and I command life into your spirit, hope into your spirit now in Jesus' name. And I break off everything that hinders your spirit moving forward. I bless you with the more. I just speak life into you and into your spirit. I break off everything that has been spoken. I feel like some things have been spoken over you that want to hold you back and shut you down. And I break those words, the power of those negative words spoken over you. I break them now in Jesus' name. And I release the truth. God says you're a mighty man and that you're my man. And to not be afraid to walk in it. Walk in it. I bless you, young men. I just bless you with the mind of Christ. I open up your mind to receive the more and believe for the more that God has more for you. He's excited about who you each are. He's excited about who you are. He's not ashamed or embarrassed of where you've been. He knows where you're going. He just saying, yeah, I just pray a bigger yes into you, a yes into you. A bigger yes for the things of God. An expectation of God in you is going to be bigger than you, who you think. God in you wants to be out. He wants to get out. He wants to be free to express himself through you. And I just speak freedom over you. And I take authority over the things that have locked you down. In Jesus' name, I speak and bless you with freedom and a big yes. In Jesus' name, God, I ask you to open this young man's eyes to see how amazing he is, his eyes to see, and his heart to receive. I bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We need to have an expectation of the goodness of Papa. He's good, and he wants to fill you. He wants to fill every heart need that you have, every place where you feel you lack. Sometimes we focus on our lack, and so the enemy wants to use that. He wants to use. For instance, I still struggle with things physically. The enemy would like to use that and sow seeds of doubt in me as proof that God doesn't want to heal me, right? He does that with every one of you. He's going to take where you feel lack or where you feel discouragement or you're not seeing breakthrough, and he's going to try and cause you to doubt the Lord's heart for you. That's where you have to get rooted and grounded in the Word. If you go into the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, those things, you need to look that up. It's in Galatians chapter 5, I think. You need to look that up. That and Isaiah 11, 1 through 3, those are God's character. There's not anything in there about fear, doubt, worry, unforgiveness. There's nothing in there that's negative. It's all good things. God has good things for you. He disciplines those that he loves and tries to grow us, and that doesn't always feel good, but the intent of his heart is good, to grow you in that place. So what we think it should look like or feel like or doesn't determine the truth of it. We need to look at the truth of who God is and what he's wanting to do through that circumstance. And so in my struggle with physical disease, God has grown my faith for healing. That's impossible. Would have been impossible for me. The same is true in your where you're at. In your struggle with whatever you're struggling, if it's financial, emotional, spiritual, whatever the struggle is, God wants to grow your faith for His faithfulness to you in it. It's the opposite of what the enemy is trying to do in that place. God wants to give you hope where it feels hopeless. He wants to fill you with the more when it feels like you lack. He wants to give you joy when there's fear. He wants to give you peace where there's anger. He has a countermeasure for every single thing that we struggle with. So in the struggle, don't be afraid of the struggle. I have wrestled and wrestled with this healing. And in it, my love for the Lord, my faith in His faithfulness, my confidence in Him as Jehovah Rapha, which is God, the God who heals me, has grown. Only He can do that, but it's only because I say yes and amen to it. I let go of fear a long time ago. Don't be afraid to ask the Lord to challenge you. Don't be afraid to ask Him to give you a challenge that will grow you. Don't be afraid to do that. Fear is not from the Lord. Perfect love casts out fear. They're not always pleasant. Going 2 weeks without food wasn't pleasant, but it was amazing. Let Him amaze you. He loves it. He loves to amaze you. He's good at it. But we have to see with spiritual eyes. We have to follow our spirit. Our spirit yearns for more of God. Our spirit cries out for Him. Let your spirit rise up and be led by your spirit and Holy Spirit, not your flesh. Your flesh goes, oh, I'm in pain, or I don't have enough money to make my car payment, or, you know, it wants to start complaining and doubting and get fearful. God has the opposite. I'm always amazed by Paul in all of his beatings and starvation and struggles. His faith and confidence in God grew to where it, he says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And that came through trial and tribulation. We don't need to fear those things. God's bigger. I just want to thank you for coming out tonight. If anybody wants a prayer for anything, for any reason that I didn't call out, or if I did, I want you to come forward and we'll continue to pray for you. But otherwise, I bless you. Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for their hearts. I ask that you give them confidence in your faithfulness to be more, to have more spiritual unity with you, to have belief for the dreams and words that have been spoken over them, that we would have a boldness to move forward in you with clarity, that our roots would go deep into the well. God, that we would dig deep wells. I ask that you help each person here to see the value that you've placed on them. You value them. God, they are precious pearls to you. I just bless you all with the more of Christ, the revelation of Jesus, and His amazing heart for you. In Jesus' name.